If we were to take an interview this morning, just a quick, 25 or less word survey, how the week has been for you, I'm sure a lot of people would say things like tiring, busy, exhausting, and the list would go on. Maybe some would say fun. Some might say, I went surfing. Some might say, I went to the kite festival. And we, the Nelson family, saw some of you there. We were enjoying that, relaxing and getting a little bit sunburned in the process, but that's part of the process. But it was a good day. But for a lot of us, we're busy. Life just seems like faster and faster all the time. There's a medical doctor, Richard A. Swenson, who wrote a book called Margin and was talking about the American difficulty with having too many things that we're doing and not enough time to rest. Compared it to having a page where there's writing on the page with books, we have the white margin around the edges. And the idea, if everything spilled over the edges, it would be difficult. That's the way a lot of our lives are. And I'm not telling you, I'm going to give you three simple steps and your life is going to be easier. If you could tell me those three simple steps, go ahead and tell me. I'm open to listening. But in his book, Margin, he made this comment, why do so many of us feel like air traffic controllers out of control? Think of that word picture. You're watching all the planes, all the little beeps on there, the blips, to tell people when to come in and what time to land and all these other things. And it's like you're juggling not just one or two balls, but a whole bunch of airplanes in the sky. And just imagine that feeling of, I'm out of control. How can I help anyone else or anything else in those situations? I could say welcome to American culture. I could say welcome to Western culture in general. And I know that we've been promised time-saving devices. People lie. They save time over here so that you can do 10 more things over here and you don't have enough time to get it all done. You don't have enough time. We need, just like sometimes at church, on the five Sunday months, the offerings are better overall when you look at the whole month. It's because we have an extra Sunday in there that always helps. It'd be nice if we had an extra day in our week, extra chunk of hours in our day, but we can't change that. We can't do that. As we look at a text that I'm sure you've heard at least five times, maybe more, over the years, kind of thinking about how in the world am I going to say anything new, and I'm not going to say anything new, probably. But maybe at this time in your life, you're going to hear something in this text that you heard before, but now you're saying, whoa, that sounds like what I'm going through in my life, or that sounds like what I need. Let me say just in the beginning, before we get into the text here, that I don't see this as an allegory. I don't want to say, yeah, these are two different denominations. These are two different sets of people. You know what? These are two people. One is Martha and one is Mary. And they were doing good things. But the one got caught up in the busyness of life, which probably would be all of us at one point or another. And the other was sitting at the feet of Jesus as a disciple, as a pupil, as a learner, to hear from her rabbi, her teacher, what he had to say. It's not even about personalities. We could say, well, I'm a Martha or I'm a Mary. Men usually don't say that, but sometimes I've heard men say that as well. Yeah, I'm more of a Martha. I'm more of a Mary. And you know what? These two women did different things at different times. Martha wasn't always like this, and we'll see at the end of my message as I quote from John chapter 11. Martha took time to sit at the feet of Jesus as well, but not here. Not here. As we look, starting in verse 38, we see that Jesus was welcomed to Martha's house. We know that the brother is not mentioned, the town is not mentioned, but we know that these two sisters had a brother. His name is Lazarus. Very good. And what do we know about Lazarus? He died, and guess what happened? He didn't stay dead. He didn't stay dead, which pointed forward to the resurrection of the dead. We also know from one of the other Gospels that Martha's house was located in the town of Bethany, which was a few miles away from Jerusalem. We read that Jesus entered a village. He was traveling with his disciples. He entered a village. And we read that Martha welcomed Jesus into her home. Her house was a place of refuge for Jesus. We don't know how much she helped, how much she contributed. We don't know how often Jesus and the disciples went to that home. But we know that there was a close relationship there. There was a rich fellowship that they shared. Jesus was welcomed into a home. Jesus was tired. Jesus was facing the cross, not too far into the future. Jesus was facing more and more opposition as time went on. It's easy for the crowds to follow him as long as he was giving them free bread and fish. Then as his calls to discipleship became stronger, a lot of people said, no, it's not fun anymore. I think I'm going to go somewhere else. We see, as we look at verses 39 through 40, we see the two women of the house responded to the Lord in very different ways. Right away in verse 39, we're introduced to Mary and what she was doing. She was listening to the word of the Lord. Martha, we read, had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. And the idea that was she was doing that regularly, not just one time, but regularly. And you'll see the irritation with Martha in light of this as well. But Jesus was willing to teach. Jesus was willing to spend that time with her. And Mary responded to that invitation, that welcomeness, that willingness on Jesus' part. Mary, we see here, loved Jesus and trusted in him. And she showed that in her time to sit and listen at his feet. And as we go on, we see Martha. And I know I've heard some pastors pretty hard on Martha. Martha was doing good things. She wasn't doing anything that was bad, other than the fact that in her busyness, she didn't have time to do what is most important, that which she needed the most. She needed time to sit at the feet of Jesus. In a literal sense for her, but for us, obviously, it's hearing his word, fellowshipping with his people, fellowshipping with the Lord himself. We read that Martha was distracted with much serving. She had a lot to do. She had important company. If you knew that relatives were coming over for a meal, you know what? I know you always work hard getting things ready around the house, but you work harder to make sure the house is extra clean and all the preparations are made. It's a lot of work, isn't it? And we know that at least Jesus was here. We don't know for certain if how many of the disciples were there. If it was a whole group, that's more work to do. But we know for certain that Jesus at least entered into the village and came to Martha and Mary's house. Mary was distracted with much serving, but notice also that Martha loved the Lord and had faith in him. And she showed her love in her serving. Not that Martha should have neglected that and said, well, we're not going to feed the Lord because I'm just going to listen to him. It's not an either or, but a both and. It's spending that time with him. Spending that time with him. Martha highlights in the second part of verse 40, highlights the problem. She comes up to Jesus and she says, notice she addresses him as Lord. Lord, do you not care that my sister's left me to serve alone? And she asked a question, assuming a yes response. The idea, is it a concern to you that my sister's left me to do all the work by myself? And she's asking it in a way, expecting Jesus to say, of course I'm concerned about that. Let me take care of Mary and I'll scold her and I'll deal with her. Don't you worry about it, Martha. That's what she was expecting. Jesus to chide Mary, Mary, come on, you're being lazy. You're not using your time wisely. Go help your sister. That's what Mary was at least hoping and probably expecting. And she said, tell her to help me. And literally the word picture here, very interesting. It's a word and two different prepositions. And it's literally the idea, tell her, therefore, to take hold of her end together with me. Picture a big quilt or a tablecloth that you fold up. It's possible to do by yourself. I know that. But it's easier when someone else is there to help fold it up. And the idea is someone else take their end, their side of the labor along with me. Tell her to help me at this task. But we see that Jesus' solution is not the one that Martha expects. The Lord answered her, Martha, Martha. Okay, and you might say to your child, you might repeat their name. That's not always a good thing. But this is an endearing, this is a kind repetition of her name. Like, not like, Martha, oh, you're so foolish. We'd say, dear Martha. In Portuguese, if you add the diminutive at the end, either it means really something or it means like a dear person. Our cook on campus was Teresinha, Teresa, which would be Teresa. And everyone called her Teresinha, which is little Teresa, which was a term of endearment. And here the similar idea, Martha, Martha. You're anxious and troubled about many things. And one study Bible has the idea that Martha should have just made one thing for Jesus to eat. And I'm not convinced that that's the idea. If you have a good Brazilian meal, you need beans and rice, not just beans. Sometimes you need the balanced meal there. It's not just, I don't think, just one thing that Jesus is saying, oh, I only want one thing, just give me bread and don't worry about anything else. But in her busyness, she neglected the one thing that was most important for her and the one thing that was more important for Jesus. He desires that fellowship with us. Isn't that amazing? The Word who was with God in the very beginning, the Word who was God, through whom everything was created, He wants to meet with us. He wants to dine with us. He wants to have fellowship with us. And what did Martha say? You know, Jesus, I'm pretty busy here, so I'll talk to you a little bit later. And she went back to her busyness. There's a time that we all have to reevaluate. I'm working, I'm busy, I'm getting a lot of things done, but am I getting the things done that I need to get done? No matter what we have to do, there's always things that still need to be done. Anyone here? I know even for the people that are retired. Anyone here done with all the things on your to-do list? One pastor told about at their house, they have a notepad that says important things to do today. He said, you know what? It's a lie. We have all kinds of things that aren't important to do on that list. And life, with its busyness, with the phone calls, and you know what, with cell phones, we can leave our home, and the calls follow us, and the messages. And if you're into texting, maybe you have kids or grandkids, you get a text, you have to type on this little mini keyboard that shouldn't be for human hands. It helps to have the auto correction because some of my words come out the wrong way. It's like, oh yeah, that's what I wanted it to say. We can be so busy. He talked about being anxious and troubled. The idea of continuous distraction and being troubled. It wasn't just a one-time thing, but this is going on, Martha, in your life. You're so troubled, you're so anxious. And the anxious is to be concerned about, to have a care. And in a proper sense, we need to be concerned about many things. But when it becomes too much and when it hinders how we function, when it takes our mind off the Lord and off of His promises and His provision and His protection, then it becomes sinful. We need to confess that. We're told to cast all our anxiety on Him because He cares for us. Here's Martha saying, Lord, I know you care that my sister's not helping me. Indeed, Jesus cared. Jesus cared about Martha. Jesus cares about each and every one of us. But He said, only one thing is necessary. And some manuscripts will say, only a few are necessary or only one. And whether it goes from distracted by many things to a few things that are important to only one thing that's really important, or just from the many distractions to the one thing, the goal is there. One thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion. She's chosen the good thing. And He said, which will not be taken away from her. In the Hebrew mind, this good portion, the idea, if it's among two things, it would be she chose the better of two things. If it's among three or more things, she chose the best of all. Jesus wasn't going to chide Mary because Mary chose wisely. I don't think Mary was saying, I'm going to be mean to Martha. I'm going to let all the work fall on her. But she treasured that time with Jesus. Such a valuable time to her and for her. One commentator, R.C.H. Lenski, made this comment. The moment Jesus indicated that He had something to impart, Mary turned from everything else to sit, to be absorbed in what He said. This natural, devoted, devout, complete attention to Jesus' word stands throughout the ages of the church as a true mark of discipleship. To receive the doctrine of Jesus with a docile heart is better than any work, labor, sacrifice, or suffering. To close the ear, to turn the heart away, no matter what the cause, is bound to be fatal, for it shuts off the life stream on which our faith depends. We need that time with Jesus. We need that time in His Word. We need that time as we gather together in worship and in hearing God's Word preached and proclaimed. We can wake up on a Sunday morning and say, oh, it's such a beautiful day. Wouldn't it be a good day to go to the kite festival? Someone invited me back to the kite festival yesterday and said, you can come back and share some hot dogs with us. Appreciated the invitation. Then he said, oh, but you're going to be busy tomorrow, aren't you? And I said, yes, I am. Yes, I am. I need this time. Not just because it's my job. I need the time with God's people. I need the time around God's word. I need that time of corporate worship. I need to hear the declaration of God's holiness, but also of God's forgiveness in Christ. So, do I leave it with Mary, or Martha, excuse me, did such a poor job of neglecting, and poor Martha, she was hopeless, and she never, no, listen to what happened in the future. Remember Mary and Martha, their brother died. And even though Jesus did a miracle, raised Lazarus from the dead, that pain was still there. That grieving, that mourning was still there. Just as if for the believer who dies trusting in Christ, we know that there will be a resurrection someday. That doesn't take away that pain and that hurt and that grief. But in the midst of it, we draw comfort from the words of Jesus. Jesus delayed in going to Mary and Martha's house. When He arrived, We read in chapter 11, starting with verse 20, when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will ask whatever you, God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said, your brother, will rise again. Martha answered, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Listen to Martha. Listen to Martha. She was invited, and I believe Jesus' gentle rebuke was an invitation for her to set aside some of the other busyness and sit at his feet as well. The invitation was not just Mary's doing what's good, but the invitation was Martha, you do the same. Spend time with me. Sit at my feet. Learn of me. Martha's response, yes, Lord, she told him, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. And after she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. The teacher's here and is asking for you. Martha sat at Jesus' feet long enough to know that he is the Messiah, that he is the Son of God, that he is the resurrection and the life. So I think it's wrong for us to characterize these two ladies as Martha's always like this and Mary's always like this. Because you know what? They each had a sinful nature just like all of us. They each got distracted at times, but they also had times where they could sit and learn of Jesus, hear his word, cling to his promises, and be assured of his forgiveness, of his love, of his mercy, of his concern for each and every one of them. Do you take time to sit at Jesus' feet? And we can't do that in the physical way that Mary and Martha were able to, but to take time to be in Jesus' word, to hear what he has to say to us, as we have opportunities to study his word as a group, and as a body of Christ on Sundays? Is it a joy? Do you look forward to it? Do you say, I need that for my soul? Regardless of who is preaching, regardless of what the text might be, I need the Word of God. I need that assurance of forgiveness of sins. I need to be strengthened in my faith in Christ, because there are so many things all around us. Many good things that are pulling us in 100 different directions. All saying, I'm important. Don't forget about me. Some of those things are very important. And we don't want to neglect. We need it to be responsible in those areas. But not at the cost of spending time with Jesus. Sitting at his feet. Hearing his word. Clinging to his promise of forgiveness. Amen.